Well, praise the Lord. I wanted to read this. I don't even know how it got in this color, but I'm going to try and read it. See if I can turn it this way and make the words bigger. That's weird. I said to you the other night that I wanted to read this thing that I got an email, and it's from a man named Van Tanner. I personally do not know him. I've seen a few videos where he was interviewing Brother Varner. I know he's been to my parents' church and various things. But, you know, I was thinking about this morning. We sang that song, the middle song, where he talked about he set a fire. And if we remember the Old Testament principle of the sacrifice, God came and lit the first sacrifice, didn't he? And he never lit another one after that. And they had to actually carry the coals and keep it burning until the next time they had a sacrifice and use the coals from the original fire, I'll call it, all right? And really, you know, we sing a lot of songs. People sing songs. My brother and I, we just had this discussion yesterday that we, you know, in this modern day Christianity of self-centeredness, God, come and light my fire, you know, and things like that. And the real thing is God already did that. He did it one time, right? And then what happens after that is up to you. You know, it's your responsibility. If we use that Old Testament principle, you have to carry the fire with you. And, you know, in their 40 years of wandering around the wilderness, they had to pick up church, camp, whatever, move wherever, but they could never let the fire go out. It is something, isn't it? And it's really a good principle for you and I that, listen, we can't ever let the fire go out. And we have to understand this one thing. What will make the fire go out is everyday life. I woke up this morning, I had this song. You know, I even said it when I was praying. You know, it was a song, Danielle and Rebecca will know it from when we used to sing it a lot at Grace Emmanuel. Let's forget about ourselves and concentrate on Him and worship Him. And we spend so much time on self, it's so subtle, you know, that we don't keep the fire going. And one of the things that it says, you know, I wanted to read it the other day, but I think it's perfect for this morning. And hopefully it doesn't take too much from our lesson today. But I think this is really, really necessary to make you and I understand that God's after something, isn't He? And He wrote this. He has a title on it, Rejected of Christ. Now, we find that maybe to be an oxymoron, but how many know that we have to do things His way? Well, I'm glad a couple of you feel that way. How many know that we have to do things God's way? You know, it's not my way, it's not your way, it's God's way. That's the one of the most amazing things that when Joshua, that was a great revelation to Joshua, and that was that, hey, are you for us or against us? He said, neither. Right? And you know, and the thing that's so funny about it is here's the problem most folks have. They had it way back in Moses' church, and we still have the continuing problem. If God speaks through His man or His person, His pointed one, right? Then people automatically think it's His way or their way, and it's not at all. It was God's way, wasn't it? All Moses was the vessel, wasn't he? You know, I can't wait till we get to the next chapter in this book. It's about Job, right? Most people don't like the book of Job, but I love it. Because if you understand what the book's about, you would love it too. Okay, are you with me? Now, in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 and 23, it says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy by the name, and by the name cast out demons, and by the name do many mighty works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity." And I just want to read what he wrote here, all right? This is so hard, this color. I don't know how this font got like this. These verses bring up several questions for us today. For example, verse 21 seems to tell us that not everyone who thinks that they are going to be in the kingdom will actually be in the kingdom. Yikes. That's not something we'll preach today. Am I right? Because we go about with this mentality that, hey, I've got a little bit of intellectual understanding, so guess what? It's an automatic. How many like sports? A couple of us. Yeah, okay. Danielle used to. I don't know. What'd you do to her, Corey? Oh, okay. But, okay, how many like the military? But the concept and the principle is the same. How many like A's in school? Right? But somehow or another, when it comes to God, we think C's and D's and or the Navy SEALs, or why put the best players on the team? Well, God's not gonna do that. He loves everybody, so he's just gonna accept you just the way you are. In the outer court, right? Are you with me? That concept really stinks if you are prone to believe that believing alone anchors our place in the kingdom. I like that, didn't you? For a minute, I thought that was me banging. Are you with me? That concept really stinks, doesn't it? That not everybody who says, Lord, Lord, will be in the kingdom. Only he that does the Father's will. As we learn in the next verse, these people have good reason to believe that they will enter the kingdom. They have done things that should make them feel confident of their kingdom membership. Bringing them even more confusion, these people are told that they not only have, they have fallen short of the kingdom, but they don't even know Christ. Are you with me? I'm glad Becca's with me. Are you with me? Say it like you mean it. Amen, brothers and sisters. What was Paul's biggest worry, Steve? Falling short. We've preached the exact opposite because the spirit of the age is today everybody gets a trophy. Nathaniel and I were having this discussion the last time the Lions were in the conference championship. They got killed by the Washington Redskins, and Chris Spielman was on the team. It was like 45-3 or something. And one of the most humiliating things he said that happened to him during the whole game wasn't the score, was that the other team marched right down the field at the end of the game and then just took a knee for the last four. He said that was more humiliating than if they would have scored another touchdown. Because it meant that they were so good that we just quit and we won't. God's looking for a people who overcome, isn't he? And they don't want to fall short, all right? Let's look at these verses and see if we can get a better perspective on what is really being said. The works that are professed by these individuals must be considered real Because the issue is not lying or deceit. Should I read that again? Okay, you ready? The works that are professed by these individuals must be considered real, because the issue is not lying or deceit. In their mind, they prophesied. They cast out devils and did other equally dynamic works as Christians. Even if some say they are false prophets, nullifying their prophecy, you must admit that casting out demons is strictly the work of God. Right? We know that, right? Because Jesus said, listen, you know, because remember they accused him of being of the devil because he cast out demons, and then he said, no, a house can't be divided, because if it is, it won't what? It won't stand, right? Okay, you with me? According to this, they were indeed working with the power of God. Jesus says in the next verse in Luke that it is the finger of God that cast out demons. So what are we to think? If apparently these people had good reason to believe that they should be included in the kingdom of God. The real truth of the kingdom. First, we want to say, I do not believe that this is an issue of salvation. There is a big thing right there. There's a huge difference between salvation and kingdom. I'm confused. I don't understand. Unless you're born again, you cannot what? No. Unless you're born again, you cannot what? See the kingdom. Salvation. You can get salvation and not enter it, can't you? Unless you're born of the water and the Spirit, you can't even what? Enter, the Bible says. Huge difference, isn't it? Can I read that again? This is not an issue of salvation. Some folks are simply satisfied in the Christian realm of just getting a B or a C or a D. There are some students, tell me I'm wrong. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong. There are some students that will tell you, even if they get a D, well, at least I passed. Am I right? I passed. So as long as I passed, that's all that matters. So as long as I've got saved, that's all that matters. But God's not looking for that, is he? Especially we ought to know that reading this book. His ultimate intention is what? Anybody? What's his ultimate intention? Christ in you. Just a wee little bit of Christ? Just a wee little bit. I got just enough Jesus to make me happy. Sounds like that's what these folks were, right? We prophesied. We worked in all these things, right? But that wasn't the kingdom. In its fullness, it was not. Are you with me? The kingdom is a place in our relationship whereby Christ is the king, and he capitalized the word king, the king of our life. What's the first word in kingdom? King, right? I really do believe this. You can come in and you can praise and you worship and you can, you know, enjoy the presence of God and, you know, never make him king of your life. Kingdom. When he becomes king of your life. And see, we can't do what Romans says. We can't change the image of an incorruptible God like the image of corruptible man. Well, that's why Paul says, listen, if I come and preach another Jesus, right? What he was really saying is, if I come and preach a Jesus that's just like me or you, this Jesus was way different, wasn't he? A a kingdom must have a king, and Jesus is that king. Therefore, I believe that Christ is letting us know a profound truth. Being saved is not enough. Boy, we can't preach that loud enough, can we? Being saved is not enough. We've turned the 21st century church into a place where it says, listen, and it's not new. I mean, we could go to the Bible and read Paul's letters and we can find this. But as long as I come to church, hear a good message, and go home feeling good, God, I'm in the kingdom. Truth of the matter is, I don't even know if it makes you saved. But I won't question that. Watch this. You say, well, how can you say that? What does the Bible say? He who what? Endures to the where? To the what? Is saved. Now, with all that said, I believe that spiritually speaking, if you get born again and you've been baptized of the water and the Spirit, and you know, oh, and the fire. We don't want to preach that part of the message, do we? But if you are, it says you're saved. And right now there's an ongoing work in our where? Soul, in our minds, our mind, will, and emotions, right? Where God has to become king, right? And so we're being saved. And if we let God finish that process, we shall yet be saved. It's a threefold dimension, isn't it? Are you with me? Wait a minute. I'm just reading an email. Are you with him? I find now, I mean, it was a revelation I had in Massachusetts that, you know, a lot of people don't like quoting other people because why? They don't want to think that they're, you know, parroting or anything. And another reason is they like to think that they're the originators. Let everybody, you know, because they know most people don't listen and read and do as much as the preachers do, right? Most don't. I guarantee you. I mean, seriously. I don't study Marvel or DC. So you guys found that out last night. I don't know very much, do I? But I wouldn't want to reverse the tables. And I'm not trying to be mean, but I'm trying to let you and I know, listen, God doesn't play games with us. He'll let you and I think whatever we want to think. Good God, I'm saved. And all of a sudden, I never knew you. I don't want to hear those words. Dad, why didn't you tell me? Doesn't work that way, does it? Because really, the one cool thing about God is, and there's, other than Selah, there's nobody in this room right here that is too young to be having an ongoing, daily, moment-by-moment relationship with the Lord. It's a matter of whether we're going to keep our own fire. Are you with me? This is what God keeps constantly talking to us about all the time, is a passionate relationship with Him. Is He our magnificent obsession in our life, or do we really care about everything else? Listen, here's what the Bible says. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. He didn't say you didn't love God at all. He just said you love pleasure more. And we know, in between those parentheses, pleasure can mean a whole lot of things. I bet you I can sum it up in this, though. Whatever makes you happy. So anyway, I got a little sidetracked. You know, if you don't like this, just blame Brother Tanner. Okay. I seriously sometimes, you know, seriously, have you ever listened to a message or a preacher that makes you mad? Because if you haven't, you have issues. Because usually when they make you mad, it's the Holy Ghost. And if you're honest with God and yourself, you'll find out that God is right. Am I right? Are you with me? And if we're not honest with ourselves, we'll just go on living our own lives, and then all of a sudden someday it won't be thou faithful and, you know, thou faithful son, right? It'll be what? Depart from me. If we do not have a relationship with Christ, then we have nothing. I can do all these things, but if I have nothing. The love has to be the love for God. It's not love for one another. What's the first and foremost commandment? Love what? Lord thy God with all your heart, all your might, all your soul, all your strength, depending where, what gospel you read it in. Add them all together. What's the first one? Love God. You can't even love your neighbor unless you love God. Right? I love you. Steve laughs. If we do not have a relationship with Christ, we have nothing. Sure, you may think that you are part of his kingdom, but according to this, it is not what you do that makes you part of the kingdom, but who you are in him. By the way, I have a question. How do you get into Christ? Baptized. God, don't go preaching that in the churches today. That's in the book of Galatians. And oh, by the way, just not, you know, there's multiple, the way the church baptizes, right? But God shows us in the book there's only one way. This is what the book of Revelation is trying to tell us. You ready? Your sinner's prayer is not a golden ticket. It is an opportunity to enter into a relationship with Christ and exchange our old filthy rags for a robe of righteousness. If Christ is not apparent in your life, then you have no assurance that you are in the kingdom and may hear the same shocking response from Christ that these people heard. I pray we hear, well done, instead of depart from me. I don't know about you, but I would rather hear, well done, thou faithful. Right? Not depart from me. But we have this idea that God would never say those things to us. It's subtle, isn't it? It really is. It's subtle. I like the next chapter. I'd rather skip what I want to talk about this morning in the book and get right to the next chapter. But listen, having an intellectual concept, an understanding of what God wants in our life, does not produce it at all. Like I was saying to my brother yesterday, I love this fact, what my dad says. One of the, we talk about it, and we can quote scriptures to, you know, I mean, we're well educated in this department, aren't we? But it's the practicing lifestyle. Right? I always remember this message by Earl Polk when he said, you know, most folks, not just out of the church, but in the church, don't even realize there is a spirit realm. It's true, right? It really is true. Seriously, if I went around the room and asked everybody, when's the last time God really talked to you, what would you say? And he talks to us in many ways, right? I heard him talking about, listen, I set the fire one time. It's your responsibility to keep it. He wasn't telling me to tell you that. He's talking to me. Make sure you keep the fire, son. And I like to just pass it along because, you know, I have that privilege. You know, being a father, a dad, you know, and, you know, a husband and all these things. I get that responsibility. I get that privilege. and a pastor.
So if you don't like me as a dad or a husband or any of those, then God, let it be the position of the pastor. And if they don't like, take it up with God anyway. Right? Steve, you're not laughing. He knows I'm right, though, don't you? It's true. Anybody remember this in Ezekiel? Right? What's it say? Does it not say this? He said, listen, Ezekiel. He said, you go tell them. But if you don't, I'm going to hold you responsible. But if you do tell them and they don't change, I'll hold them responsible. So now I have a dilemma. Right? Now, most folks, this wouldn't be a dilemma, right? I'm just going to tell them, because if they don't do it, it's their problem, not mine. That doesn't work just that way either, does it? Are you with me? Is everybody with me this morning? Oh, look at that cute little baby. Isn't that a cute little baby? Until she starts screaming. No. Are you with me? Now, we read on Wednesday night, we're talking about Israel's in the book here. We're talking about, I don't know if you like that or not. It doesn't really matter to me. It really doesn't. But what does matter to me, seriously, is our relationship with God. Because you're just wasting your time, not wasting mine. Because I'm going to do this whether there's one person in this room or 500 in this room. Watch this. I don't mean to be mean, and don't take this the wrong way. I don't come here for you. Well, you only have 10 people. No, I have one person, Jesus. I know my assignment. And I understand that my assignment brings me to his ultimate intention. If I follow and walk and lead and all those things, right? What makes me any better than Abraham or Enoch or all the folks that were already, Joseph and, you know, all that? No, no, listen, this is my time frame, right? They had their time frame. But God's gathering all things up. Isn't that what it says in Ephesians? He says the family in heaven and the family in the earth. We're too earth-minded. And I mean that naturally speaking. Okay, are you with me? Now, we talked about the rise and falls. We were talking about the rise and falls, right? And tell me, Corey, has that changed with people? The rise and fall. When they're in trouble, what do? They cry out to God. When they're not in trouble and everything's going great, what do? Forget. I always remember Lynn Hiles. See, I'm going to keep saying people's name because you won't blame me for this. You'll blame somebody else. But you know what Lynn Hiles always used to say? Seriously. He said, your greatest temptations isn't in your troubles. It's in your good times. See, we think our greatest tribulations and testings, our greatest trying times and moments is in our testings and troubles and tribulations. No, no, no. It's in your good times. I'm on vacation all the time. It's you forget God. It's true, right? Most folks don't even take their Bibles with them on vacation, do they? Oh, wait, we don't need to. We have all the electronics out. But I wonder, see, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just trying to get us to understand something. And listen, I guarantee you, I've been preaching this for years. You won't change. You won't. Until you fall in love with God. You'll think it's a great idea and a good concept, and you'll believe that it's true. That was my whole point of reading that email. That as long as you believe it, you think everything's okay. I think everything's okay. Well, is there something wrong? No, 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 that's not what I'm saying. You're missing what I'm saying. What I'm saying is just because we believe doesn't mean, listen, what did James write about believing? Even the devils believe, don't they? Oh, I'm a believer. Yay. all that does is put you one step up from an unbeliever. I'm sure you'll all be happy when this book is all done. Then I can go preach some message that, you know, make you feel good. The principles are, as grace is demonstrated that we might be free from captivity. But this freedom is to be used for and unto his ultimate intention. God always asks for the impossible of natural man so that his people will be dependent upon what? Divine spiritual resource. We never like the impossible, Corey, because it takes the control out of our hands. And don't kid yourself. We love what? Control. Don't we? We like to control everything. I'm telling you, putting things in God's hands will liberate you. God designs all things to function properly under his control. Should I say that again? God designs some things. All things to do what? Just haphazardly go along? No. Function what? Properly. God, you know, we hate things functioning properly under his control. He is not content to merely set us free, but he longs to turn our captivity, that is, he longs to bring us back into his captivity. We don't really want to be captive by anybody, but we never understand. We already read it, right? You're a slave one way or the other, right? You're either a slave to God or a slave to sin. And sin simply is just missing the mark. And I love the Old Testament version, and forfeiting the prize. I don't want to be a castaway to you. I don't want to. Listen, being thrown out into outer darkness where there's wailing and gnashing teeth, it's, you know, it's a metaphor, right? But it just means, God, I missed what I could have had. Right? I don't want to do that, do you? Hey, don't look so sad. I don't know about you, but when I say to myself, geez, I don't want to miss out. I don't want to be a castaway. I mean, there's a little spark inside of me that jumps and says, good God in heaven, he's given me an opportunity to be a captive of him where I could hope. Yes, it's a hope. Hope is an anchor for our soul that, listen, I'm not letting go. It makes me more determined. Right? Watch. Everybody put a smile on your face. Come on, smile, smile. Watch this. Jesus loves you. What's the next question? Do you love him? What's the next question again? Do you love him with your whole heart? Man must either submit to God's purpose or become captive to some other inferior law. God's plan will not allow us to live long in liberty apart from law. Did you hear that? That's the cool thing I like about God. That is really cool about God. He'll let you just do your own thing for ever how long it takes, but at some point, there comes a line of demarcation, isn't there? I can pray for you, Steve, till I'm blue in the face. And all God will ever do is present the opportunity for you where you still have to make the choice. God will not change you automatically. I wish he would. Just bop me on the head and say, it's done, it's finished. Are you with me? And I'm not trying to be mean here, but to all the finished work preachers, right? My question is he will finish or complete what he started. So that only tells me that there's still some more
I don't know. Aren't you glad there's still work that needs to be done in my life, Corey? He realized quick that I was setting him up. I know my kids are all saying amen. Are you with me? God's pattern, I love this. I read this the other night, but I thought it was worth reading again. You ready? God's pattern is not in spurts of consecration and dedication. Right? It's not the herks and the jerks. It's not some big, you know, this is what we wanted. I want to go out and I want to speak into someone's life and then not do another thing for 2 months. And then, I want to do this. No, that's not spurts and jerks. But it's a dedicated walk in life. Do you know why we like those little bursts and squirts? Because they're flashes of out of the ordinary. It's like scoring a touchdown, right? You go crazy, throw it, right? But every time Barry Sanders ever scored a touchdown, what did he do? Handed the ball to the official and went back to the sidelines. He acted like he had been there before. It was a way of life. I knew where I was going. I headed there every time. And when I got there, I turned around and waited till the next time I could get there again. Instead of a herky jerky, let me make a splash so everybody can see me and, you know, right on the football. And it's been subtle. But I think it's almost complete. And shooting stars eventually do what? Burn out. God's pattern is not in spurts of consecration and dedication, but in a consistent walk leading to a continuous unfolding revelation of his plan and purpose. Now, I have a question for you. Moses was a great man, wasn't he? I'm going to talk about his earthly walk, all right? He was a great man, wasn't he? Did a lot of things. I mean, he parted the Red Sea. He did a lot of things, didn't he? Now, would you take his walk or Enoch's walk? Which one? I'd take Enoch's, wouldn't you? Because Enoch's the first man that they ever talked about in the Bible that walked with God, and God just said, come on home with me. He didn't die. Am I right? I'm telling you, everybody's waiting for Jesus to come back, right? But like Pumbaa said, this is a fixer-upper. If it's such a great place, why hasn't he stepped back into time immediately? Oh, wait, it wasn't his plan. It wasn't his purpose. He's after something greater where he can come and live and move. Watch this and have his being inside of us, you and me. And listen, his purpose wasn't about what you can do in jerks and spurts. His purpose is about a continuous walk daily. Where you could come to a place, I can't comprehend this, Rebecca, that he said, Paul wrote this, he said, whether I was in the body or out of the body, I did not know, but I heard things. Eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, neither has it even entered into the heart. Well, God has plan, purpose for those that what? Love him. This is a cool message, isn't it? This is a cool word. We have a cool God. You know what I like about the Lord? I could tell a story really seriously. Someone that was very close to me, and you know, they had children, and the children turned out not the greatest, you know, and the youngest one said to the parents, you know, I'm the way I am because of the way you disciplined me and you let me do and have whatever I want. I had to call the police to get them out of the house, all right? And it's because you didn't spank me enough when I was growing up. That's what they said. Now, can you imagine that? I can't even imagine that. I can't.
Probably because I never got away with not getting smacked around. Now, my dad, I never remember getting a spanking past 10 years old. By the time I was 10, I knew my dad meant business, right? So you knew if, can you relate? Anybody else, can they relate? Can you relate? I can relate. And you say, why are you saying that? I'm saying that for this reason. I'm glad that God just doesn't let me have my own way. Aren't you? I'm really glad. Because I do not want to miss out on his purpose. Because his purpose, I can't even think about it. It's abundantly above anything I could ever think or ask. Can you imagine that? It's above whatever I could ask. And it's above what I can think. So if it's beyond what I already can think, am I the only one excited about that? Rebecca shook her head, yes. I'm teasing you, baby. I knew what you meant. History shows us a victorious Israel, ever relying on God's miracle-working power. A self-willed Israel continually seeking deliverance through her own schemes and alliances. And a captive Israel crying out in humility for deliverance from the oppressor. Deliverance was always through obedience to God's methods. Corey, can you read that for me? Do you have? Oh, you don't have the book. Can you read that for me back out loud? I'd like someone else to hear. I'd like you to hear someone else's voice.
The entire sentence?
Just.
So, the captive Israel
No, deliverance.
Oh.
Miraculous. Obedience to what? Whose methods? You know, I was reading. You know, I was just reading. One of the things that the priest had to always do, and we don't get this, and I know I say it all the time, and we don't like to hear about obedience, number one. We really don't. We want to do our own thing. It's a subtle little fox. But let me tell you, here's obedience. You ready? Obedience to God's methods. We can take all the Old Testament principles and we apply them in the New Testament, can't we? Because that's what they did. They took the Bible from the old. And listen, most of the writings from the new were from the old, right? Okay, so watch this. The priests had to, the first time, before they went in, had to wash from what? Head to toe, which was a picture of baptism, right? So you know in the New Testament we have to get baptized into Christ. But the thing I was reading the other day, or reading just recently, was this. Watch this. They had to wash their hands and their feet before they could even go in. The temple, it says. They had to prepare themselves. I wonder how much preparation we do in washing with the water of the Word. Did we even pick up our Bibles this morning before we came to church? To prepare. Obedience to God's method, washing, right? Cleanse. If you have a hope, if you have this hope, you do what? You purify, clean yourself, even as he is pure. Now, I know. We, if we're not feeling it, right? Anybody remember what the Lord showed me many years ago, what the acronym to pray means? What? Prayer requires a yielding, right? So you will have to yield yourself to prayer, even if it's inconvenient. Watch. How many times do you make yourself inconvenient to other things? sports night, movie night. You mean we can't do any of those things? I didn't hear the preacher say that, did you? No, he's talking about making yourself inconvenient, right? So you can pray. Anybody wake up in the middle of the night? Do you pray? Right? Are you with me? I love this stuff. I do. You know, Dale doesn't like Glumkies, but I like Glumkies. Oh, wait, they're not Glumkies according to Sherry. But anyway, my house, half of my house has Glumkies. Are you with me? This is meat and potatoes to me. I have a question. For our desire to be lack of obedience, what would have happened to you and I if Jesus decided to take that path? We might not even be sitting here today or standing here today. Or am I right? He would have just said, you know what? I'm already perfect. You know, because by the time he hit 33 and a half years old, right, when he was ready to go to the cross, no matter what anyone says, the Holy Ghost impregnated Mary, and that part was a done deal. You are not undoing that. Well, he couldn't have done it. Really? He took on the form of man so that he could feel your and my infirmities. Isn't that what it says? He knows what we feel. I have a question for you. Seriously. If he was disobedient and didn't walk it, right? One of the best things the what was the last movie we went to? The Bible one, right? You know, where I never saw this before, but I really believe this. I don't know if anybody else caught it, but I really do believe this. I really do. Does anybody believe that Jesus is a prophet? Do you believe he could see down the porthole of time? He could see what was coming, right? I believe he got a vision of himself hanging on that cross. I believe that he got a vision of himself being whooped and beaten, all those things. About that time is where most of us would have hightailed it out of the dream or vision and became disobedient. No, not true. Really? 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 Good God, don't make me point things out. It's true. Oh, and just because you can point them out in me doesn't mean that yours isn't true, right? Is that not true? What are you laughing for, Corey? I love Corey. He's my man. So are you, Steve. So are you, Dale. So are you, Nathaniel. No more men in here. Are you with me? And you ladies, too. See, I have to do that to keep the love. Am I right? It's true. This is true stuff, isn't it? Our methods must be his methods. Does anybody know how we came about with the Methodist denomination? Which is so ironic, from John Wesley, which we have the Wesleyans. And the only reason that they called them when they worshipped in, you know, I think it was the 1800s, right? Somewhere in there. It was because of their method of worshiping, wasn't it? You may not believe this, but those folks were spirit-filled at one time. Just like about every denomination. It's true. Tell me, come on. Martin Luther nailed the theses on the Catholic Church wall, right? Didn't he? And he says, listen, we don't have to live by rules and regulations that you made up, which was no different than the Pharisees, right? He says, we need to do what the Bible says. The just live by faith. But that was just the beginning.
We must walk in God's methods and be obedient to his method. And watch this. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is the law. Is it not? And the only way that you can ever follow the law of the life of the Spirit in Christ Jesus is to have a relationship with him. And you can't have a relationship with him, listen, if you're not praying, meditating, reading his word. And listen, those things by themselves can just become a form of godliness, and you can still deny the power. The real power wasn't, he could have got off that cross, right? They said, hey, if you be the Son of God, come. It took more power to stay on that cross. It took more power to be obedient. He learned obedience by the things that he suffered. I believe, Corey, he got a vision of him being whooped and beat, and he saw himself hanging on that cross. But I believe that beyond that vision there, he saw a vision, watch this, of you and I coming into the fullness of the Father's purpose. And he was willing to be obedient, even, the Bible says, to the death on the cross. And one of the things that we have to come to this realization is every little thing we go through in this life is true training for the vision beyond the time frame that you can see. Listen, forgiveness isn't a loophole. If grace abounds greater than sin, right? Isn't that what Romans says? What did Paul say? Shall we continue in sin then? God forbid. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a person sows, so shall he reap. You sow, right? You're either going to sow to the Spirit for everlasting life, or you're going to sow to the flesh for what? Corruption or death, right? It's true. Now, are you happy? Are you joyous? See, even if this is one of the most ugliest messages and you hate it, your joy shouldn't be dependent on it, should it? It really shouldn't, because if it is, we're in trouble. What's that, Corey? Yeah. I think one of the coolest things that Nikita said was waves of emotions. He puts waves like emotions. People get up and people get down. People get up and people get down. You know, they're all over the place. And the Bible says the wicked or the lawless or the disobedient or the ones who just plain won't follow what he wants are like a troubled sea. And the waves do what? They bring up the mire and the dirt, the flesh realm. And presumption stirs up. God, the water's all mucky and emotions, isn't it? The soul realm. Oh, wait, that's the place where I'm being saved. I listened to a CD by Brother Hunter recently, and one of the things he was saying, he said, you know, you'd think after 40-some years, I'd stop doing some of the things. You ever feel that way? Jeez, I've been serving you, God, for a long time. Now, some people never think that way because whatever they're doing is cool, and they live with it, and God loves them, and that's fine, you know. But it's because I really do believe this. I seriously do. It's like the book of Samuel, right? Where Eli, he was going blind and he couldn't even see that the light was almost out and the whole works. It says there was no open vision. It was rare in those days for God to speak to people, right? Where's the Holy Ghost? Deliverance was always through obedience to God's methods. Not just sometimes, but always. It was divinely miraculous. It was never through the power of numbers, arms, alliances,
Reliance on human wisdom or education. That's one of the scariest things we have in the 21st century church today, is this. Watch this, seriously. The Bible says in the book of Daniel, it says, in the end days, knowledge will be what? Increased. We see it in the natural, we see it in the spiritual, don't we? We know more things now, naturally speaking and spiritually speaking, than we have through the course of time. Seriously, this is 2015, isn't it? You just go back 150 years ago. Go back, 100 years ago. Most folks were still in horse and buggies, weren't they? Now, 100 years seems like a long time to you and I, but, geez, I've crested the halfway point. I mean, seriously, you guys are all so young, you don't really realize this. 1969, I remember when they put a man on the moon. They thought it was impossible, but they did it. But could you imagine just 40 or 50 years before that, people just looked up and wondered. And that was from the beginning of time. Seriously, I told you this. I used to watch the Flintstones and the Jetsons, and they would pick up a phone, and you could see the picture of someone they were talking to. You can't comprehend that. Listen, when I had my first telephone, it had a big long cord on it. It never left the wall. See, you guys can go in your room with your phones and do whatever you want. I used to have to, when the girls would call, I'd have to go in the fruit cellar and close the door so nobody could hear me. We had a basement with a fruit cellar. But the cord was long enough, it went in there. Because you had to have private conversations. Oh, wait, no headphones. When I listened to music, headphones were like this. The big strap over it, and they still make those, but you get my point. Education, you can't teach this. You have to catch this. I could sit here and talk to you and teach you all kinds of things, but education will not give you what God needs in your life. You have to catch it. Seriously, I really do believe this. We train people left and right. Day after day, we run them through the factories of school and higher education. And I guarantee you that most folks, all they are is book smart, and they can't really comprehend and function in life. We really rely on the few that actually take hold and can do things. This is not God's way. Are you with me? I hope I've not bored you today. I want you to understand, this can't be taught. It can only be caught. Right? And listen, the Spirit doesn't work by practice. What does He have to do in repetition? Matter of fact, Jesus said, don't even work in repetition, didn't He? We have this idea that repetition will get something done. That's human effort, isn't it? Anybody ever decide, you know what, I'm going to start praying every single day. I'm going to take a time out and I'm going to go do this every single day. How long did it last? It's effort. It's human effort. You have to catch this thing. It can't be taught. What Sister Clarice always say? How many know how to do push-ups? How many do them? How many know they're good for you? Well, no, Sherry doesn't think that. But like my brother Tim said, and I say, yeah, Sherry, she believes the same philosophy. What the Bible says, exercise profiteth little. That's what my brother Tim was saying about my dad. Are you with me? In order to be delivered from adversity, Israel must submit to the foolishness of God, which is always beyond the comprehension of carnal men. See, I don't know about you, but see, when I read sentences like this, it just grabs me. You know, because the first thing it does, if you know your Bible, it says He'll use the foolishness of God to confuse
you know, the wisdom of men, doesn't it? And then in another place it says, right, what's it say? The foolishness of God is greater than the wisdom of men. Think about this. As smart as man is to even put a man on the moon, and we now can build a space shuttle and we can have cell phones and telephones where we can see pictures, God's greater. We can't comprehend why he would be greater. But think about this. He gave us cell phones. Do you think man just thought that up? I've read this. I can't really say that it's true, but, you know, and I don't know. I'm just repeating it. You can take it for what it is. But Alexander Dowie was a man that moved with great prophetic in the late 1800s, and he actually prophesied of the television. But you know, the coolest thing is what the Lord showed me was this. First the radio, then the TV. First you have to hear the sound of God before you can ever see the expression of it. And if you don't hear it, you'll never express it. First the radio, then the TV. Always remember this commercial. I think it was about... there was a newscaster named Mort Krim. You guys are too young to realize that. But he had this commercial of him that he said, hey, did you see? They got a new radio that is a box with a picture on it. God wants to put, seriously, sight to what we talk about. That it becomes more than just a message that you and I hear, right? Oh, I can hear the Lord saying, though, all you have to do is follow my methods and it'll be seen. Just walk in a continuous walk with me and don't spurt and jerk and it becomes an expression for the whole world to see. I wonder what people gravitate to the most in our lives. So we have good jobs, we make money, have decent houses, all those kind of things. Throughout the centuries, God has found those who allowed themselves to be captured by his purpose. I like that. He has a remnant in every generation. Christ's disciples submitted to a way of life so irregular in the eyes of their contemporaries that it brought them into jeopardy day and night. When Jesus was down in the temple at 12 years old, where were the rest of the little boys and girls playing games? Here's the thing that God says to me, and you can take it for what you want. If I'm willing to say, God, I want to be like you, then I'm going to have to walk in his methods and not be like everybody else. Which was one of the big mistakes Israel did when they asked for a king, so that what their own words were, so we can be like everybody else. Paul also became a bondslave of Christ, and worldly minds considered him to be a madman. Remember that? Hey, Paul, we think you've gone mad. Think it not strange today when a new purpose, a fresh, genuine philosophy, or a burning vision of destiny floods the mind of a captured man, that he is labeled and even libeled as a fool or a madman. As the world drinks deeply at the fountain of human error, should I read that again? See, I read so fast sometimes. I don't know if you catch it, but listen, you need to go back and read this. Even though you and I are here, you need to look at this. This stuff just jumps out at me. The fountain of human error. How often does carnal reasoning, hey, what looks right in my own eyes that I do? It's the fountain of human error. Everything seems to be right. We just got done saying, you love the fact that God does things that are impossible, but yet when he presents them to us, we use the fountain of human error to find our solutions. Spurts and jerks. Not a continuous flow of his life. Up out of your belly shall flow rivers of what? Living water. The first thing that should do is calm the seas, the raging seas of emotions. So it doesn't dig up any dirt that will clutter your mind to use human reasoning. Well, didn't God give me a brain? He absolutely did. Watch this. What brain did he give you? The mind of Christ. Now he says to do what? Put it on or use it. Right? As the world drinks deeply at the fountain of human air, and God's own people stray farther and farther from his ultimate purpose, madness will even be more frequently offered as the explanation for the exploits of God's captives. Good God, would you want me to tell you what people have labeled me or you? Seriously. When I worked at Cadillac, down at General Motors at Cadillac, we used to have these little informal Bible studies all the time. You know, those were the good old days when you could stand around and talk for hours. You know, you didn't have a lot of work. But you could be at the coffee pot for an hour, right? And you could start talking about the Lord. And we had this little group all the time. But then, you know, as I started talking, you know, and then some people listened and like, hey, that guy's got some stuff I never heard before. But then the others would say, man, stay away from Dale Frazier. He's crazy. Really? But that's what happens, doesn't it? The closer a person comes to God and the more they want to be like God, even those in their own family start thinking they're whack jobs, don't they? Because the Bible says those of their own household are your worst foes, enemies. Now, by the way, if you wonder who said that, it was Jesus. Jesus. Madman. Crazy people. Listen, it comes in all levels, right? Seriously. I'm serious, right? Some people think you're crazy if you just go to church. But if you're a church-going person, some people might think you're crazy if you, you know. Right? The spirit-filled. Our thought of, we never understand this. If you don't understand this, every level or every denomination, the reason people moved on, and some people don't move on, that's why you go all the way back, the Catholics, the Lutherans, the Presbyterians, the Episcopalians, the Pentecostals, the Baptists. All, the reason is God just took another step in the wrong. And some people recognized it and said, I'm going to go. But every group that left was always persecuted by the group behind. But yet, all God was trying to get us to do was climb the ladder to him, wasn't he? And not put yourself in a box of any denomination. Just walk continuously. And the thing we have to come to this understanding is this. Listen, it isn't going to happen in just a lifetime. It's taken generation to generation to generation to generation. Isn't that what the Bible says? It's not what man has to say. The problem is man is so short-sighted, all he can see is what's happening in his little box of life. God forbid anything should happen to us. But listen, your box of life can be gone in a second. I don't know why I want to say this, but I can hear Brother Varner right now. Listen, this may seem totally out of context or not seen, but I sense this with the Lord saying. Brother Varner said, listen, he grew up in the church. He grew up in the church, and at 17 years old, he heard a preacher preach, a Baptist preacher preaching a rapture message. And he said, at the end of the message, do you know that you're really saved? And he said, I had to ask myself the question. I don't know that I really am. We need the Holy Ghost to answer that question. I'm telling you, we eliminated the altars of the church so we could make platforms for the musicians. And so therefore, we wonder where repentance is all the time. And true repentance is a real change of heart where it says, listen, I'm not going to do things my way. I'm going to do things your way, God. And I know in the midst, you have your best in mind for me. 24 years old, he captured my heart in a way that I can't change, only into his image and likeness. I can never go back. Mistakes, failures, heartaches, sorrows along the way. Sure, lots of good times. Great times. But when it's all said and done, I want to hear, well done, thou faithful son. I don't want to hear him say to me, depart from me. I can't live in a captured world of human reasoning that says, hey, I'm delusional. Hey, everything's cool. God, you got it made in my life. No, he still has requirements on us, doesn't he? Are you with me? And I know some folks, they'll take this and they'll say, hey, you mean you're trying to earn your way? Well, I hate to tell you this, but the Bible says those who diligently seek him shall be rewarded. And faith without works is what? Dead. The only thing I couldn't do was my initial salvation. It was a gift of God. And if he tells me to overcome, then the only way I can overcome is he is my source in my life. Not with herks and jerks, but with a continuous flow of up out of our bellies, our desire realm. Right? That's the picture. My desire shall flow a river, a lifestyle that is Christ-like. Which may mean I'll go to the beach today or I'll do, but you know, it's ever keeping your eyes and your ears open, walking with God. Right? As the world drinks deeply at the fountain of human error and God's own purpose, people stray farther away from his ultimate purpose. Madness will even be more frequently offered as an explanation for the exploits of God's captives. In his captivity, God's people will at last find perfect freedom and joy. King David describes this as follows. This is one of the most amazing psalms. You ready? When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. I preached this many years ago. Martin Luther King said this. He said, I have a dream that all men would be equal. Isn't that what God's really after? That's the real thrust of his word, and he didn't even know it. It was Jesus speaking from the heavens, saying, listen, the captivity of humanity. Come on. What was he trying to do? He was trying to let the people who were considered slaves, the black folks, to be set free, right? Because there was so much oppression and stuff. But what God's really trying to get you and I to, listen, I've liberated you from the law of the life, or the law of the spirit of sin and death, to the law of life in Christ Jesus. Law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Come on. But that did not deactivate the old law. Sin and death still is active, isn't it? It's still active. But we must live by a higher law to overcome. Some people think that murdering's okay. Some people that think stealing's okay. You know what? I swear, this is an honest to God true story, and I know I'm rambling, but you know, I worked with this guy. It made good money, makes good money. And you know, he went to the store and they were buying some clearance Christmas stuff, and he had an artificial tree that was a display, and the girl forgot to ring it up, and he went out and he said, Merry Christmas to me. You get my point? Some folks just think whatever benefits them justifies their actions of what they're doing. Now, we wouldn't steal, right? We wouldn't cheat or murder. Wonder how often we lie, have a bad attitude. How about this one? Here's one of the highest rungs on most folks' problems. Self-centeredness. I want it my way. In all the talking in the world right now, I have not told you anything that you don't know. But it's in the practice of life, Corey. Practicing a relationship with Jesus that changes it. And I thank God I don't need to be a hippie Jesus. And you can be smart and intelligent, which he was, wasn't he? Turned the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue was singing. They said among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. Listen, we as a church world love to blow our own trumpet. But I've been saying this for many years. When the world starts blowing the trumpet that, hey, something's different about them, then you know we've made inroads. Don't tell me about how many miracles you have. Don't tell me how many people you got saved. I'm not even interested in any of that nonsense. I want to hear the unbelievers. You realize in 1973 that they were literally putting things in the newspaper about what the church was doing? Could you imagine that today? Most of you aren't that old. Oh, wait, none of you are but me. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams of the south. Do you get what the streams of the south are? That's the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Are you ready? That they that sow in tears will reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Weeping is not usually considered these days to be the badge of a successful Christian worker. David linked it with a turning of his captivity. I find that interesting. And so it has been with God's chosen ones through the centuries. You can stand. I know I'm long today. Although outward circumstances give no evidence of joy and freedom, God's people still know the joy and freedom of ultimate living. That's Corey's message, right? This is the very reason for our triumph. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, or persecution, or famine, nakedness, or peril, or sword? These things can be relied upon to bring captivity and defeat all others. But God's people can have such joy and freedom that never can be touched by these circumstances. If we're always trying to change our circumstances, we better check our joy meter. You like that, huh, Corey? It's true. Because most folks live in a realm that if I change my outward circumstance, I'm going to be happy. Even though they know the other way is true. These things can be relied upon to bring captivity. Da, da, da. Such was the experience of Paul and John and all the apostles. And such was the experience of the hundreds of thousands of Christians who have followed in their train. The words of Tiersturgen written under severe persecution. Can you imagine? I'm going to write under severe persecution. I don't even know what persecution. Someone made fun of. People don't even make fun of you as being a Christian anymore. They don't. I remember when I was younger, they would make fun of you as a Christian. People don't do that anymore. You know why? We've moved into this realm, and there's a spirit that says, you're okay, I'm okay, and we brought it into the church. Need I that a law should bind me captive unto thee? Captive is my heart rejoicing, never to be free. Father, we thank you for your word. I thank you for your word, God. Because you have set us free, only to bring us into captivity once again. It's the love of God that constrains us. I come here to speak before you guys all the time because God's love has constrained. I find it great joy. My biggest prayer is that everyone will hear his voice. Because when you hear his voice, seriously, you'll change. And Father, I pray that you break the spirit of familiarity. That they would know you, God. Love you with their whole heart. Father, I pray that you take this word and magnify it. Lord, that the whole house can see. Lord, we love you and praise you. And Father, as Nathaniel goes back to school, God, I pray that you strengthen him in the inner man. Let that prophetic voice that is within him arise. Father, help his mind be so strong that he'll remember, and school will be, you know, easier for him. I'm not looking for an easy path, but just make it easier for him, God. Touch his body from head to toe. And let the life of the Spirit truly flow. Because God, when you get done with him, he shall surely know you're the King. We love you, Lord. We praise you. I bless this people, God, with the highest blessing. The highway of holiness. The highway of heaven. The highway. Thank you, God. I declare these things in the mighty, miraculous, holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our King, the lover of our soul, in Jesus. Amen.